Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And here we go. We welcome you into the playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. And finally, we have some football to talk about specifically for the Patriots, even though it'll seem like forever and a day until we get to next Monday night when the Pats get to go to Carolina and take on the Carolina Panthers. We're going to start off normally on a Tuesday, as I'm sure many of you are well aware. This is Nitpick Tuesday. So I don't want to keep you from picking nits if you have them today. And my biggest nitpick is there really shouldn't be any bye weeks, but I understand why there are. You have to give these guys a break at some point in time because you have a 16-game schedule and you don't want everybody to, you know, completely, you know, knock themselves off in terms of injuries and all that kind of stuff. So I get that, but I'm still going to nitpick on the bye week. If you have any other nitpicks that are taking us back a couple of weeks, or from the bye week as well, or for anything else that's come across the Patriots' plate, now's the time to get it out, because we'll leave it in the dust after today. It'll be gone. But we are going to jump a little early into the examination of the next opponent. We normally wait until Wednesday, but we're going to start today because, quite frankly, we had all of last week to talk about it. Now you got an extra day to go before you get to the next game. Playing Monday night. The only Monday night game the Patriots get all year, and it comes after a bye week. That's another nitpick today. Goodness gracious. I mean, it's great for the Patriots. It's really tough on the fans, but it's great for the Patriots because they get to maximize the time away, which is why Bill Belichick gave them 6 days off this past week. But they are back to work. So, anyway, the voice of the Panthers, Mick Mixon, is going to join us in 20 minutes, and we'll begin taking a look at really the story in the NFL right now. The hot story in the NFL right now is the play of the Panthers, having won 5 games in a row, rebounding from a 1-3 start and looking very much like now one of the true contending teams in the NFC. Now, in the South Division, it's a 2-team race. It's New Orleans, it's Carolina, and then boom, nothing, because Atlanta is completely and totally fallen on its face to the tune of a 2-7 start. But the Panthers find themselves only a game behind the Saints in the South. So you certainly know how important a home game is for Carolina. You know how important a home game is against a legitimate AFC contending team in New England. And if you want to stamp legitimacy, well, the first 4 games of their 5-game win streak came against teams with losing records. And then what did they do? What did they do Sunday? They slugged San Francisco in the mouth.
It was 10-9, I believe.
Yes. Slugged them in the mouth, played tight defense, and you can certainly make an argument right now for Carolina's defense being the best in the NFL through 10 weeks as we enter here week number 11. So we're a little past the halfway point. We've kind of gotten through all of the first half, grades, and, you know, you are what you are by this time of the season, for the most part. For the most part. And I say for the most part because, as I'm sure many of you are aware, or are becoming aware as we now speak, Houston Texans made an interesting move today in releasing, or they are releasing, Ed Reed, safety Ed Reed. And you know that he has long been a favorite of Bill Belichick's. And Ed Reed has, you know, joined that mutual admiration society. And so my question to you is very simple today. Number one, if he falls through the waiver wire, falls through the cracks, and goes through, should the Patriots pick up Ed Reed? That's a pretty easy question to answer, but I want you to answer it and tell me why or why not. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. Toll-free telephone number 855-PATS-500, the ACE ticket hotline 508-298-0398. And do hit me up on social media. At JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. I'm right at 4 away from 1900. Love to get there by the end of the day today. Can somebody put me over the top? I promised a prize to someone who gets me to 2000 or over. I'm still a little ways away from that. I might have to come up with something for someone who gets me to 1900 today. At JR Broadcaster. So follow. And then on Facebook, I've got the Facebook page up and running as well. John.Rook, you can find me. R-O-O-K-E is how you spell the last name. Okay. So those are a couple of things. Your nitpicks, yes, because it is Nitpick Tuesday. And I've given you a couple to kind of chew on already here today. Number two, Ed Reed. Yes, no, and why? Why or why not? If he falls through waivers and becomes available, or the Patriots decide, you know what? Maybe. That's number two. All right. Number three, tell me what the first thing that comes to mind when you think Carolina. Now, I know we have some followers of this program, some Patriots fans in North and South Carolina specifically, who are regulars to this show. And maybe they would be happy to contribute here. But, you know, this is a part of the country that you only get to once every 4 years if you're the Patriots. And so, and really, you only get to once every 8 years because of the way that the schedule works out when you travel, you know, to play. And, of course, the game in the stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Been a while since the Patriots have been there. Been a while since they've really had anything big going on with Carolina, probably since the Super Bowl matchup. So what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think Carolina? Is it the Panthers? Is it the football team? Is it barbecue? Is it basketball? What is it? What is it? I want to know the first thing, Patriots fans, that pops into your head when you think Carolina. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, or the toll-free line, 855-PATS-500, and at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. All right, so I've given you a few things to kind of think about here, the early going. I got a couple of more that I want to throw out at you as well, but that's enough to chew on at least for the opening hour. We will continue the thought process as well on the Carolina Panthers in hour number two after Mick Mixon joins us here in now 15 minutes. Jonathan Jones, who covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer newspaper, he will join us in hour number two. So you can see we're going to jump into all things Panthers in the program today. Why not? We need to learn these guys. We need to get to know these guys. We need to figure out what they're all about. I mean, I do know they play pretty stout defense. The fact of the matter is, you know, these guys are, wow, stout. I think I said that already. The Panthers are second in the NFL in points allowed, giving up less than two touchdowns per game, 12.7 points per game. Patriots, of course, have not been bad themselves by comparison. I think they're seventh in the league in points allowed, so that's encouraging at least, but I think we all know that it's a little different defense now than the one that started out the year for New England. Panthers are sixth in third down defense. Distinctive advantage over the Patriots. Both teams are good at turnover differential. Red zone defense, the Panthers are third in the league. Patriots not too far behind at seventh. But they've been in the top five most of the year. So clearly, defensively, the front seven seems to be where Carolina thrives. You're going to have to try to get the ball over the top maybe to beat them and loosen them up a little bit. And frankly, you know, it sounds to me right off the bat like this would be great for no huddle. Let's speed them up. Let's see what you can do. Let's gas them. Let's try not to let them, you know, get on and off the field and, you know, get in their sub packages and that kind of thing. I mean, that's just an initial thought right off the top of my head. Really want to take a harder look at them throughout the course of this week, and going to start with that today, and we'll continue that throughout the course of the week. But I'd be curious to know what you think about the Panthers. And again, what is the first thing you think of when you hear the word Carolina? Something good, something bad, something indifferent. What might it be? All right, you know what? Let me go ahead and give you the other thing I wanted to give you to chew on today. Because with Carolina's emergence, you might have another player in the mix overall, just based on the fact that they have won five in a row, and they've got to be the hot commodity right now in the NFC, outside of Seattle, certainly, outside of the Pacific Northwest. But I think they caught some attention now by beating up San Francisco. Okay, they didn't beat them up. They beat them, and they won in San Francisco, bringing the 49ers also to 6-3 on the season. Right now, Seattle probably deserves to be right there at the top, if not the top, of the league in the power rankings. But what are your top five teams in the NFL today as we enter week 11? Top five teams, rank them. Where are the Patriots in your top five? Are they even in your top five? And does Carolina rate a mention in your top five? Web radio at patriots.com. Again, the email, 855-PATS-500. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. All right. You see, I got a lot of good stuff today, and I was going to kind of save it and hold it off. I'm like, nah, let's throw it all off at the top. Because this gives everybody now a chance to chew on something. You can answer one of them. You can answer all of them. If you want to share your thoughts on all of the aforementioned subjects, whatever it might be, or none of them, that's fine. But I want you to participate in the show. It's me and you, a couple of guys from Carolina today here in the playbook, and we're going to kind of, you know, get on that stuff a little bit today. So that's kind of where we are. What do you think about when you hear Carolina? Who are your top five in the NFL power rankings? Where do the Patriots figure? Is Carolina in there as well? Got any nitpicks from the off week back into the win over Pittsburgh? And should the Patriots make a play for Ed Reed at safety if he slips through waivers and the Patriots can find him available? See, I've got some definitive thoughts on all of those aforementioned subjects, and I will begin sharing them with you. But first, I'm going to let Dave in Connecticut lead us off today in the playbook. Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Hey, Mr. Rook. You got some real good topics going on, and I mean, it's going to be a good show.
Let's good. Well, I appreciate your saying that. Take a whack at him.
Okay, let's get with Ed Reed. I mean, if he does fall to waivers, I think Belichick's definitely going to jump on him. He's always been a player he's coveted, and I think, you know, even if he has a little bit left, he would improve our safety position, you know, especially with Gregory being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about Carolina, you know, it brings a smile to my face because, correct me if I'm wrong, the last time we played them was in the Super Bowl?
We
didn't play them in the regular season after that, did we?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'd have to look back at it, to be honest with you.
We've
played them here. We just haven't played them there.
There, yeah. But I was there in Houston, and you know, every time I see the highlights, I smile. And my little happy moment of that, I'm sure you guys who were at the game know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all my friends, I had real good seats. I was sitting right in the Patriots end zone, like six rows back. All my friends were like, "Did you see Janet Jackson's booby at halftime?" And I was like, "No, you know." But what I did see was, right after halftime, the streaker, who was dressed in the umpire's uniform, jump on the field and do his little dance and streak down the field. And they didn't show that on TV, but I do remember who did tackle them for the Patriots. Number 58 there, Matt Chatham, blasted him.
Yeah.
As everyone else kind of looked at him like they thought a referee went absolutely apeshit. You know, this guy somehow got on the field. He was fully dressed in a zebra suit, went up to the kicker, I believe it was Scott Case, and put the ball down, and he started dancing, and he just booked down the field. And that was my kind of, like, happy moment of that Super Bowl. I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, it was kind of funny to see that. You know, and I know the NFL didn't want to make a big thing of it because of the security at the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a tough game. It really is. You know, you said that the Carolina's defense giving up 11 points. You know, I agree with you. I think we need to spread them out and kind of wear out the big guys before we try to pound the ball on them. I think Ridley has to be part of this game. I really do. I think he needs at least 20 carries. It might not come in the first quarter, but we need to stick with the run to slow down their blitz as much as possible. Okay. You know, I think it's a big test for us as well. Okay. You know, this is a big time defense right now. They really are. I mean, like you said, they're ranked in the top five. And I think if we can come out there and get a win against them, it's going to be a statement game for the Patriots. You know,
I think it would be a statement game from the standpoint of, Number one, the Patriots are certainly a legitimate threat again because of the fact that, you know, they've done so well, A, coming off of a bye week under Belichick, and B, because they have had their way really with the NFL in the month of November and December over the last 10 years. So it would be kind of like more of the same, and I think people would certainly stand up and notice that. And coming off of a win on the road as they had at San Francisco, that would certainly, I think, get a little bit more attention. You know that ESPN is just, they're frothing at the mouth on this one because they've had a bunch of, you know, really horse feather games this year for Monday Night Football. The Monday Night Football package has been terrible. You make a case that the Sunday Night package has been way better. And ESPN desperately needs this Monday Night game to live up to some advanced billing.
Oh, absolutely. I think the Patriots, you could be looking at the best Monday Night game followed with possibly the best game of the year, you know, with the Broncos. Well, let's not look ahead to the Broncos. We got to focus on Carolina.
You don't want to look past Carolina. No,
absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not.
I mean, nobody going to do that. So we're not going to do that either.
I just like you said, you know, I kind of been keeping an eye on them, and you know, I'm a little worried about this game.
Well, I think you should be, Dave. I think you should be because of the way that this team lines up defensively. And because, yes, I know the Patriots are coming off their best offensive performance, certainly one of the best in the history of the franchise. We consider the total yardage they put up. So I guess that means that they're maybe getting a little bit better. But when you consider the entire body of work over the first 9 weeks that they've played, you'd have to say that it has been a struggle. You want to continue to see some improvement. And maybe you can have that if you do get Shane Greenback, who is back at practice this week. So I think signs are pointing to the right direction. The question I have is that Carolina, and this is something I know that's going to be hammered on all week long, but Carolina rushes four about as well as anybody in the NFL. And the Patriots offensive line, as we all know, has had its share of problems this year. And so can they keep Tom Brady clean enough and relatively hit free enough in order to be able to find those receivers? And the way that you do that is by up-tempoing and, you know, dinking and dunking and quick handoffs and not letting a defense get into any kind of a rhythm. I really believe you got to keep the defense back on its heels because then it would resort in, well, if we got to put pressure on the quarterback, maybe we need to bring some heat, and then you have them. Then you have them in mismatched situations. So that's why I kind of think, like, you know, this just screams of an up-tempo kind of week for the Patriots.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think they totally need to be an attack offense here, you know, maybe with screen passes and, you know, wide receiver screens just to, you know, like you said, hey, you know, sooner or later that's going to open up that passing game down the field and in the middle of the field. You know, and without a doubt, you hit it on the head. You have to keep Brady clean. And if he has a game like he had against Cincinnati or even the Jets where he has a lot of pressure, it's going to be a long day for us. I'm not saying it's not winnable, but I'm saying it's going to be a lot harder. All right, and I agree with 100% with the offensive line. I thought Gannon did a good job and when he came and filled in for Vollmer there and did a good job in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I know we had this other guy from Kansas City and they were like moving around a little bit of guard and the tackle. Svitek is his name, I think.
Svitek.
Picked him up.
Will Svitek.
Yeah, Svitek. I mean, you know, if we're having some problems in the middle of the line, I really think they should plug him into guard. You know.
Well, again, you're probably doing your own fair share of nitpicking here now, Dave, but fact of the matter is that, you know, they would not have gotten him if they didn't think that he was versatile enough to play all of those positions.
Yeah.
So that's the,
you know, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
That's the big thing. I mean, they don't really feel like I think he's starter material right at this moment. I think they feel like they're better off where they are, but he certainly has moved into a more prominent position based on what we've seen with some of the other, players there and the way that, you know, Sebastian Vollmer went down. So I think they'd love to move him in there. I think they're a little reluctant to do that right now. And I think they're better served with him kind of moving up and down the line and playing backup just in other slots on that offensive line. And I appreciate the phone call, Dave. Let's get in Olivier in Virginia. Hello, Olivier. How are you?
John, how have you been?
I'm great. How have you been?
Hi, I have been listening faithfully on the show. I haven't been able to call. My apologies for that.
No worries, but I'm glad you've been a faithful listener.
Yes, I've enjoyed the game that you had last week.
Oh, game show Thursday, yes.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Good.
I think you should become a game show host going forward.
That is my goal when I grow up. I want to be a game show host.
So, John, I was calling because I'm tempted to get excited about the Ed Reed release, and knowing that there has been a platonic love affair between our coach and that player for a very long time, I was wondering what would be the likelihood that he stops by Foxborough. I don't even know if he can even be picked up by us because I think that there is a process.
He can be, but he has to go through waivers. And, of course, you've got contending teams ahead of the Patriots that would have a crack at him before the Patriots could get to him. So the only way the Patriots could sign him is if he slips through 27 other teams, I guess, where they're currently located. And I think I heard somebody say it was 27 teams because I haven't really counted the best records in the league all over. I mean, I know that you'd have Denver and you'd have Kansas City behind you because based on their records. So at any rate, if it slips through everybody else, then yeah, you can sign him if they all pass. And frankly, you know, considering what other teams have and because, you know, you don't know whether or not he has any, you know, life left in the legs. I mean, he was certainly critical this past week of Houston's coaching staff. And it's not so coincidentally he finds himself, you know, cut from the team, you know, because I'm sure they feel like that's a detriment to what they're trying to do. And, you know, so who knows?
We didn't sign him in the first place.
Well, you know. I'm a little surprised that they didn't. I'll be honest, but, Houston offered him the most money. So clearly that was a big mistake for Houston. Now, if you can tell me, especially since Steve Gregory was not at practice, and that does, I guess, you know, we know he broke his thumb. So, I mean, there is, you know, there was some thought that he could play with a broken thumb. Maybe they're just holding him out that they'll, you know, hopefully be ready to play, what have you. But generally speaking, we'll have to watch that through this week only because guys got to practice during the week. You generally have an idea he'll be able to play during the game. Plus, the first injury report didn't come out, I think, until Thursday because of the Monday night game this week. So because of that, we'll, you know, next couple of days are all conjecture until we see the injury report come out on Gregory's status. But, if he's going to be out for a week or two or three more or whatever, yes, then this is an absolute no-brainer. To me, it might be a no-brainer anyway simply because of the experience that he can provide, number one. They had that, as you well know, in Adrian Wilson, and he just wasn't good enough to make the team initially. They just decided that what he could bring, they could get, you know, from the younger guys to that point in time. So, you know, I'm...
And then we also play both the Texans and Baltimore in the remaining of our schedule, but what assuming that those 27 teams or 26 teams don't pick him up, what do we have to pay for the guy? Do we even have any cap space?
You have the veterans minimum. I think you've got to offer him prorated.
I see. Okay.
So I don't think it's going to cost you a ton. And it's certainly something I think that there's enough cap room where you could pick that up and be able to do that for this year. If, again, you've decided as a team that you want to do that.
Yeah. What about if someone picks him up and Ed doesn't want to go there? Is he forced to go there?
If you pick up a player on waivers, if the player wants a job, he'll go there.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just decides, you know what, I've had enough, I'm retiring.
Oh, but he's obliged to go play if someone picks him up.
If someone picks him up, he becomes that team's property.
I see.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay.
So, Olivier, it was great to talk to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, John. You take care.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take a couple of moments now, and we're going to deal with our esteemed opponent for this next Monday night. Frankly, I think everybody realizes that they're more than just esteemed opponents. They're one of the hot teams in the entire NFL, the Carolina Panthers. Mick Mixon calls the play-by-play on the Panthers Radio Network. He joins us here in the playbook. Mick, it's John Rook here in Foxborough. How's it going today?
John, it's great, man. It's great to hear your voice. I'm just sitting down here drinking coffee, looking out over these cloudy skies and thinking about how great life is to even be in the same universe record-wise as the unbelievably successful New England Patriots.
Well, I think, first of all, it's great that you're sitting and watching outside. We're watching snowflakes up here, so I think a lot of people will be ready to come down to Carolina this weekend.
Well, I told Kevin, you guys are half crazy, man. Y'all should just move down here. We don't have the Red Sox or anything, but we got I mean, there's a lot of seats open on the bandwagon. We can get you upgraded to first class.
I like that. That's actually a great place to start. Five wins in a row, Mick. So how seriously do you feel like the Carolina fans are beginning to take the Panthers?
Well, for Panther fans, it's kind of like somehow or another when you're in high school, you know, and you luck into a date with the head cheerleader, and you got it all set up. The prom's looming. You're picking out your tuxedo. You got an appointment to get your hair cut, but you just know that phone's going to ring, and there's a bigger name. You know, the quarterback called, and you're out.
Yeah.
Panther fans don't know. We're excited, but we don't know quite how to act. We don't know whether to trust this or not. But it's really with the San Francisco win, it's starting to feel like a solid football team. And John, this club's not doing it with sleight of hand. I mean, it is a stingy defense. It's a team that likes one another. They're taking their coaching well. They've gone from being risk managers to being risk takers, mm-hmm. and that seems to have been a good thing. And then Cam Newton, I mean, I could talk for a long time, which I won't unless you ask me about it, but Cam Newton's evolution as a man and as a quarterback in the NFL has been something to see.
Well, let's start first of all with the risk taking that you just talked about, and I know that now Ron Rivera is getting the Riverboat Ron moniker stamped upon him. What do you think caused a little bit of the different attitude maybe of late in taking some of those chances?
Desperation. There was there's no tape you can listen to or self-help course you can sign up for. There's no infomercial late at night that can tell you how to manage these situations. I think in Coach Rivera's case, it was just that what was being tried wasn't working. And the Panthers were playing the percentages, were playing the odds, they were taking field goals. It seemed like intelligent coaching, but other teams were breaking the Panthers' hearts. And so I think Coach Rivera just finally said, hey, you know, the DNA of football is played by aggressive alpha males, these war daddies that they don't want to punt. They don't want to take a field goal. They want to go for it, whether that's cavalier thinking or not. And so by changing his philosophy a little bit, it really kind of energized his football team.
It's interesting. And so it seems then like, certainly for one, as you talked about Cam Newton just a second ago, he sort of embraced this a little bit, and maybe he's the kind of guy that you really need in order to kind of engineer this sort of attitude.
I think so, because of his ability to run, his ability to get you a short yardage conversion if you need him to. The Panthers have these thunderclap backs in Mike Tolbert, D'Angelo Williams, mm-hmm. Jonathan Stewart, and plus, I mean, you don't have to be the greatest scientist ever. You don't have to be Stephen Hawking to figure out that if you've got this kind of a defense, why not take a few chances with your offense?
Sure. Sure, it makes sense. And you mentioned the running backs there. I know it's become actually a little bit more of a rotation, and a lot of people around here are familiar with D'Angelo Williams, but at the same time, they all seem to complement each other fairly well.
They do. They complement each other very well. When Mike Tolbert makes a good play, D'Angelo Williams compliments him, and when Stewart makes a good play, Tolbert compliments him. I know that's not quite what you're talking about.
No, that's pretty close. That's right there.
From a football standpoint, seriously,
yeah.
Jonathan Stewart is one of the better screen game receivers that's ever played down in this part of the country. He catches the ball well coming out of the backfield. He's very good in pass pro, blitz pickup, and he's got that heavy core, the low center of gravity. He can get you the tough yards. Same could be said of Mike Tolbert. And then D'Angelo Williams running with incredible balance. I don't know if you saw the touchdown mm-hmm. in the San Francisco game, but he should have been knocked off his pins two or three times during that play. But he's got that ability to triangulate, to use his arm as a third leg, if you will, and keep his balance and score.
Sure. And that's certainly, yeah, they all do seem to complement each other very well. And when you have a quarterback like Cam Newton who has the offensive talents that he has, it seems to be a lot of synergy on that side of the ball. And then one of my all time favorite receivers in Steve Smith. He's just like the Energizer Bunny. You know, takes a lick and keeps on ticking. And to me, I know that a guy like Smith garners the utmost respect, I think, from the entire Patriots secondary. And probably will get that respect this week.
Well, I would think so, but Steve's game has changed. I mean, he's not the burner that he once was, and that's no headline story, but because he's in his early 30s now. But he's still very strong. He's still a handful in the run game blocking downfield, and he's got that combative. He's not just competitive. He's combative. I mean, it's personal with him every play, every game. So, how do you see the Patriots trying to trying to defend him.
Frankly, I think we're all kind of waiting to see if Aqib Talib is going to be healthy this week, because I certainly believe that that would be a matchup that would be worth watching on Monday.
Well, we know Talib. Well, he was with Tampa Bay for a while, right?
Yep,
I mean, he's got
correct.
That familiar name in the division. I know he knows Smith's game pretty well and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a nice matchup to look after. And, you know, again, the Patriots have, as I'm sure you probably were, Mick, they, you know, have had their own fair share of injury problems on the defensive side of the ball. And running the ball against the Patriots seems to be how teams, at least initially, are beginning to attack them in the whole post-Vince Wilfork season and post-Gerard Mayo season with those two guys out for the year. Talib is sort of the missing ingredient. He seems to have brought a lot of the glue of that secondary together and has made them a little bit tougher. And then, of course, we've got wild speculation running rampant over the potential of Ed Reed slipping through waivers and being available for the Patriots to pick up and help them out this week.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Well,
I can report. I know you like breaking news on your show. I'm reporting out of Charlotte today, and the league is going to investigate this week. There's a new incidence of bullying. The Panther defense got Colin Kaepernick out in front of the entire school and beat him up and took his lunch money on Sunday.
You know, that obviously is where I think most Patriots fans have to be somewhat concerned going into Monday night. That's a pretty good way to put it. I was really, really impressed with the way they beat up Kaepernick, and that should have Patriots fans worried, because one of the, even though the Patriots were able to finally get on track, so to speak, for 55 big ones against the Steelers a couple of weeks ago, the offensive line has been problematic at times this year, and Carolina seems to be one of the rare NFL teams that can rush for and be effective by doing that.
That's a good call. I think you're dead on it. And even, you know, even the four-man pressures, if they don't get there, at least they're collapsing the pocket. They're pressuring the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks are having to take a quick look at, where's Charles Johnson? Where's Greg Hardy? What about Star Lotulelei, the rookie, K.K. Short, Colin Cole? There's a lot of depth for the Panthers along that defensive front. But, you know, New England's got what everybody else wants. I mean, they've got that psychological hardness that only victory can breed. And so I think for the Panthers, they're going to have to not only defeat the New England football team, but also the Patriots' reputation for grace under pressure.
Tell me a little bit about Johnson in particular and the two defensive ends overall and where their improvement really has come from. What has been the surprise in their play to you?
Well, first of all, I always wanted to see a Rolls-Royce up close and personal, and I thank Charles Johnson for bringing his black one to the stadium parking lot every now and again.
Did he let you sit in it?
No, gosh, no. No, I'm afraid to even take a picture of it, but it's pretty long and lean. But anyway, Charles Johnson's a great guy. He's just, first of all, he's country strong, John. I mean, he's got moves, but he doesn't really need them. I mean, he can just bull rush, shiver charge, and he really is a handful. On the other side, Greg Hardy has this alter ego, this cartoon medieval kind of superhero personality called the Kraken, and I'm 55 years old, so this I miss that train, but evidently it's some mythical dude with a lot of power, and so the Kraken, Greg Hardy, has got that. He brings that to every game. In the middle, Lotulelei, Colin Cole, I mentioned K.K. Short, the rookie, who's a natural-born pass rusher, even though he's got big old gams on him and a low, you know, that low COG himself. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
I forgot what the question
was.
Yeah,
just where the improvement has come from these guys and what has surprised you about their play.
Well, I really think you have to give the rookies a lot of the credit. I mean, the Panther defense is a year older. They're a year wiser, another year in Sean McDermott's system, John, but there's also the X in the equation is Star Lotulelei. He'll put both hands on the ground. He gets upfield. He's pretty good at getting out of his tracks, retracing his steps, and tackling swing passes and getting out there in the screen game defense if he needs to. He seems to have a real appetite for the mental side of football, as the cliche would go. The game's not too big for him. So I think Patriot fans are going to enjoy paying special attention to the 98 car, Star Lotulelei, and the 99 car, down here, KK Short.
Absolutely. And probably a pretty good analogy right there, utilizing the NASCAR reference. Mick Mixon is the voice of the Carolina Panthers joining us here in the playbook. We are familiar somewhat, with Luke Kuechly because of his time spent up here, Boston College, a linebacker. But I'm not so sure that anybody expected him to develop into the NFL caliber, it seems like Pro Bowl caliber linebacker here that he's developing into.
He's got tremendous instincts, and he's a studier. He's a worker. He knows where to go. He's like that Gretzky. Do you like hockey, John? Are you a hockey guy? I guess
I'm not a huge hockey guy, but we certainly get a little bit of that up here, yes.
I just remember Gretzky, hearing him one time say that he doesn't skate to where the puck is. He skates to where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Sort of that Bob Cousy ability to see the floor, and there are other analogies too, but that's Luke Kuechly. I remember I ran into Frank Beamer, the head coach of Virginia Tech, once, right after the Panthers had drafted Kuechly 2 years ago, and I just was talking to Coach Beamer and said, because his daughter used to work here with the Panthers, I said, Coach, what do the Panthers have in Luke Kuechly? He said, in 30 years of coaching, I've never run across the field to shake another player's hand who kicked our butt, but I did that with Luke Kuechly. He had something like 19 tackles against the Hokies 1 year, and you guys are getting a good football player. So that's definitely been true.
Yeah, I just, his time at Boston College, even though he was really kind of surrounded with maybe a less than mediocre team, the fact of the matter is that here's a kid who, his instincts are like few others that you've been able to see, especially for someone like that defensively. You hope that a middle linebacker is going to be that playmaker, that guy that can, you know, lead by example. He truly is a lead by example guy. And the fact that he has the instincts to be in the proper space and the proper place, even when a play is coming at him, that's the kind of guy that really makes the others around him better. And I really thought that that's the way he was in college. He took probably a subpar Boston College defense and made it certainly better, to the point where they actually had a couple of decent years in there while he was playing. But it seems like he's helped Carolina elevate its overall game tremendously.
He has, and you tell Bullet Bob Soshi he's going to have to be on his game because Kuechly can fool you.
Yeah.
You see Kuechly rush in, you see him blitz off the edge, and he doesn't get there. You think, okay, well, he's out of the play. And then there's a screen pass, or there's an out cut, and all of a sudden Luke Kuechly either deflects it or makes the tackle, and you think, that guy just saw 59 going that way. How could he have been there?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that ability. It's amazing. If the front seven then is the strength of this Carolina defense, Mick, what is it about the secondary where they need improvement?
Well, they got a lot of nasty in them right now. I mean, Drayton Florence will bring the wood to you from the back moving forward. Mike Mitchell is an assassin. I mean, he's a nice Christian, reverential guy off the field. But on the field, he just wants his fair share, but he kind of wants it now. And any skirmish, any extracurricular stuff, you can count on Mike Mitchell being at least nearby, if not right in the middle of it. Captain Munnerlin is small, but he's a vicious tackler. And is pretty good in run support. Quentin Michael was a pickup, kind of came in off the street, and he's learned the position. He's done well. We got a generic secondary. It's not the name brand Fortune 500. It's not, you know, Jiffy or Peter Pan or Smuckers. You know, it's just the off brand. Just has peanut butter on it, but they can be pretty sticky if they need to be.
Well, then let's kind of wrap it up like this, then, Mick. And again, thanks for the time today. I know that, you know, of importance to Carolina in the overall scheme of things has to be trying to figure out a way to catch New Orleans, a game behind them in the division. I assume that the Panthers would probably look at a lot of that New Orleans, New England tape from earlier this year, where the Patriots were able to sneak out one at the very, very end against New Orleans. So how big would a win be in the overall scheme of things against a New England team at home?
It'd be huge. I'm still trying to figure out what happened at the end of that Patriots-Saints game. Kevin turned me on to the Scott Zolak, Bob Soshi call of that last 20-something seconds.
Yeah.
I've listened to it four or five times already this morning, but that's what I was talking about earlier, just with the belief that the Patriots have.
People say, where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Unicorns! Show ponies!
Makes me
Where's
laugh.
The beef?
Just makes me laugh every time I hear it, I think. You've never been stepped on as a play-by-play announcer, have you, Mick?
No, I sit close enough to the control board where I could have turned Zolak down.
Atta baby.
Just reached up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've had some fun with it. I'll put it to you that way. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of anticipation of this game, more so than I think we thought we were going to get, to be quite honest with you, before the season started. When you look at the schedule, it's almost like, oh, we go to Carolina in week 11. It's an afterthought, but I think the Panthers have earned it. And I know ESPN's thrilled to finally have a decent Monday night game, don't you think?
No doubt. Yeah, it's just pitiful seeing Tirico and those guys all getting their spray, the makeup and the airbrushing and all, when no one's really going to be watching. This time it'll be worth it, because I hope people will be listening to our network and to the Patriots radio call, and also watching on TV. And I appreciate you having me on your show. I hope I didn't talk too long, but
no.
That's kind of what Southerners tend to do.
Yeah, well, you know what? Since I'm a Southerner, heart being originally from Texas, I totally get that. So thank you, Mick. Appreciate the time today, and continued success.
Y'all keep in touch.
Will do. Thank you very much. Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. All right, let me get a timeout in here, and then I'm going to recoup. Let's also open up the phone lines again at 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-PATS-500. I've got a lot of things on the table I need you to answer today. Number one, are there any nitpicks left over from the win over Pittsburgh and the bye week? Shared a couple of them with you earlier, but what are your thoughts? Anything to be upset with, to be somewhat concerned about in your estimation? That's number one. Number two, power rankings. Who are your top five in the NFL through week 10? Where are the Patriots in that mix? And do the Panthers belong at 6-3 after winning on the road at San Francisco? Number three, if Ed Reed slips through waivers, should the Patriots go get him? What are your thoughts? 855-PATS-500. Ready, set, go.
Where's the beef?
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
It is Nitpick Tuesday. I don't know how you nitpick a bye week, but we can probably do that here. We nitpick everything here. For instance, Kevin, what the hell is the photo that you just tagged me in on Facebook?
My mustache. It's a mustache. It's a Movember on Patriots Playbook, which it is.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, wow. That's some forehead you got going on there, brother.
I know. I got a lot of shine on that thing.
I mean,
hair is retreating.
How about a little? Maybe it's just moving south. It's going from the top down to the upper lip.
It's too bad.
Oh, my goodness. And then, of course, you can see me off in the distance looking like a schmo.
Yeah,
so that's really good.
It's fine.
Should have said that. I didn't know you were giving yourself a selfie there.
No, I was. That's the thing. People are always using that word now, selfie. I never knew what until the first.
That's the hot thing.
So the rule is on the website there where I joined up to, like I was telling you about, I joined the Revs team, mm-hmm. the Movember team.
Yeah,
so
right.
The rules are, as you go, like every 3 or 4 days, you're supposed to take a picture of it growing in, and your first picture is supposed to be completely clean shaven, nothing. So I had to shave my goatee, which I've had forever. So I was completely bald on my face, which looked awful.
And so I look different. You look younger.
Yeah. So I put.
And you also look young enough as it is anyway.
So I put a picture. I put a picture up of myself clean shaven, and all the girls that I'm friends with on Facebook were like, "Oh my God, he took a selfie!" And I was like, "What the hell is a selfie?" Apparently, it's when you just take a snap a cell phone picture of yourself or whatever.
Yeah, you take a picture of yourself. That's what it is.
So the rule is on the as I go through on the website, and you know your parents donate money, your aunt, your uncle, this, that, the other. As you go through, in order for them to get bang for their buck, you have to post a picture of your mustache growing in every 3 to 4 days. So I've been trying to keep up with it.
Okay.
And I really hadn't posted one at all. So I was like,
gotcha.
As well.
So they need to see your progress.
Exactly. They need to see that you're actually doing it. And not just, you know, taking the cop out and creating the account and like trying to raise money, but not actually growing a mustache. Am I growing a mustache, but it's a goofy one. It's
well,
like
you've
a
got
trucker
the
Fu Manchu.
You've
thing
got the
going.
Fu Manchu thing yeah. going. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all the way down. Why have you kept the mustache going and decided to get rid of the beard?
Well, the rule is, so I thought I could just.
Is it only a mustache?
Yes.
You can
so I thought I could grow like either a whole beard or just keep my goatee or shave off the bottom of the goatee and keep the mustache part of it, the top lip part of it. The rule is you have to go completely naked on your face, completely clean shaven, and the only thing you can grow is a mustache. It has to be connected to your top lip there. You can't grow like a whole beard.
See, I've actually been considering the little soul patch.
Oh, yeah.
Right under the lower lip, you know?
We'll get you a Corvette. You go through a midlife crisis.
Yeah,
we'll get
I know.
You some Just for Men gel on the top.
I wanted to grow a soul patch, and I want to grow a ponytail.
Oh, wow.
And then pull it back, you know, behind my
oh,
hair
wow.
like that.
I
know?
Don't know.
Do a little of that.
That might be tough with the headsets, all the headsets that you have to wear. You know, we'd have to create, like, a special little headset for John Rook that holds his ponytail, too. Can you imagine your broadcast partner at PC, Joe, just like, what the hell is this?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, this is called midlife crisis. This is
so,
what it is, right?
Could I please order a Sennheiser headset with a ponytail holder?
With a ponytail holder.
Thank you
yeah,
very much.
That's exactly right.
But so if all of you are looking on John's page or whatever, I didn't realize, John, that when you tag somebody,
mm-hmm.
I thought it would just come up like on your feed like and just say, hey,
no,
Kevin,
it goes, person you tag, it goes
I,
on their page,
I didn't
too.
Mean, I didn't mean to put it on.
No, no, that's all right. It's okay. That's fine. I was just like, that kind of caught me by surprise.
All of a sudden,
like, what the hell is that? It's a full moon in Rook's Facebook page.
I know. I get a lot of shine on my forehead. But I was trying to get a picture of, like, you doing the show in the background.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Through, I'm not a very good photographer either.
Do yourself a favor, though. I mean, turn around and look at it before you, like, you know, social the photo,
that's
right?
That's true, but it's all for a good cause.
Of course it is.
I don't care.
Of course it is. All right, I appreciate that. All right, here we go. 855-PATS-500. There's a lot on the table here for the Tuesday edition of the Playbook. Your power rankings, number one. Where do the Patriots figure into that? Do you have Carolina in the top five? I'm looking at that right now for a lot of people, and I'm going to share some of them with you. That's one of the things that's on the agenda. Number two, nitpicks, of course, leftovers. Number three, should they go after Ed Reed? If he slips to the Patriots, should there be an effort made to doing that? I think I can go both ways on that, but let's see what Sheldon in Baltimore thinks. Sheldon, you're in the Playbook.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from Baltimore, and I'm familiar with Ed Reed. If he has anything left in the tank, and Brady wants to go for the Super Bowl this year, which he has a great chance with these rookies, wouldn't Ed Reed and Tlaib be great for two great safeties to take them right where they need to be?
There's no question. And frankly, I'm at the stage where I kind of lean toward, look, if he's there and you get him for, you know, the prorated veterans minimum, plus I think a little bonus, whoever it is, then I think, you know, why not? Because, first of all, you know that Ed Reed has respect for Bill Belichick, and Belichick does command that kind of respect. And you know Belichick has respect for Reed's game. So because there is that mutual admiration society going on between the two, I think it sounds to me like an extremely natural fit. If he can still provide some kind of help on the field. Now, if Steve Gregory is not able to go of immediate concern because of the broken thumb, then Reed plugs right in and conceivably helps out. But you have to wonder, here's a guy that was basically relegated to, you know, mop-up duty, if not dime back duty in Houston, and he just hasn't played up to even his admission, his capabilities while he was with the Texans. So you have to wonder if he has gas left in the tank, and I'm sure that has to be something that is being discussed by a lot of teams right now.
Well, it certainly would be an asset to them. It's worth the money to try. I'd love to see Brady and these youngsters get to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, I think a lot of fans, Sheldon, would agree with you in that regard. This would be kind of like a bonus year because, you know, we've spent pretty much the majority of the first half of this season wondering out loud to nobody in particular or sharing it with everybody in particular why the Patriots really didn't do a better job of trying to surround Brady with better talent, knowing that he is, you know, in the twilight of his career. And the fact of the matter is, and I think Paul Perillo kind of put it very well in PFW Progress earlier today when he said that, you know, hey, no one, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but no one expected to have happened in the offseason what happened. If the Patriots had known about, you know, Aaron Hernandez and his, you know, off-field difficulties, shall we say, before everything had transpired, I don't know that they let, you know, Welker get away to the extent that they did. You know, if they had known that Rob Gronkowski was going to take as long as he did, I feel like things would have been done differently to make sure that there were targets or some players in place that could help the Patriots get up to speed offensively quicker than they have. Now, that being said, it took them what? 8 weeks to get there. Week 9, they finally turned on the Jets. Why? Because they started to get healthy bodies back. And if they have Shane Vereen back, who he lost to a broken wrist, you might recall back in week 1 against Buffalo. If he's back this week against the Panthers, and he has returned to practice, then this offense will be as healthy as it has been all year. And that certainly is a good sign.
Well, if there's anything left in Reed, and I've watched him in Baltimore for many years, he certainly, him and Tlaib could take you guys right to where we want to go.
With Tlaib, especially at the corner, and Reed back there playing safety, yeah, I think that would be as dynamic a defensive backfield. You might have to shade it with a color of gray, but, you know, Tlaib is not exactly an old guy either. Reed is the one that has the, I guess, the senior authority back there. But if it happens, it would certainly be dynamic.
Yeah, he certainly is familiar with Flacco's long ball, the Hail Mary. You
know. That's also true, and I think that would be great for a team that has been burnt by the long ball in the past. And if you have a guy like Reed who has that ability to sort of cover and play center field, then that might actually help them in the short term.
Well, go Pats, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Sheldon. Appreciate that. Sheldon in Baltimore. 855-PATS-500 or the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. What do you think about Ed Reed? Should the Patriots make a go of it, make a go of trying to sign him if he slips down to them, if he becomes available? Tim on Facebook says, here's a snippet on waivers. If you claim someone on waivers, you are on the hook for the prorated salary that they were signed for by the team who just released them. For Reed, that would be a one-time $412,000 plus $62,500 per game. You can only renegotiate if he clears waivers and is signed as a free agent. The biggest question is, how much does he have left? The last time Belichick stalked a love interest, it resulted in the Ocho embarrassment. How soon we forget, right? Regarding this week, Vereen couldn't have picked a better week to get back. He's far and away the best receiving back on the team, and Brady will need that outlet a few times this week with that front seven. I like Bolden, but he has one chain mover clang off his hands seemingly every game, and that's also a very good point. Bolden, I think, has actually performed fairly well, especially considering that he's been kind of nicked up with a bit of a knee problem in his own right. So you like to have somebody who's, I guess, got surer hands coming out of the backfield. Vereen has always been that guy. Even when they lost Danny Woodhead to the San Diego Chargers in the offseason. The reason that they lost him is because they said, well, we have Shane Vereen and we really like what he can do. And then he was only able to show what he could do one game. He had 100 yards rushing against Buffalo. I think he had, what, 50 some odd yards receiving against Buffalo. He gave you a bit of an idea what he could do then. And then he breaks his wrist and he misses the next 8 weeks. Clearly, Shane Vereen has been that kind of, missing ingredient in the offensive backfield. And if they have some of that flexibility and versatility, they have Vereen they can go to as a safety outlet. They could certainly go up-tempo, as I suggested earlier. I think this week kind of, indicates that you're going to see some no-huddle packages have to be in there and relatively prominent, because you got to figure out a way to keep that front four pressure off of Brady. Never mind blitz packages, which you don't see a lot of from Carolina, because their front four is so good at, creating pressure. And the teams that have been like that against New England this year, do I need to remind any of you who they were? Out of the 9 teams the Patriots have played, who are the 2 teams that got after Tom Brady and the offensive line as well as anyone with just their front four? I believe that would be Cincinnati and New York. And, oh, yeah, they're the 2 teams that have beaten New England so far this season. Just a kind of a bit of irony there, I think. Yeah, I think Carolina's, front four could be every bit as good. Could be and probably is every bit as good as those 2 teams in terms of just rushing four and collapsing the pocket and forcing Brady to step up into it, which you'll probably see. Conversely, to me, one of the big, huge keys, in addition to, making sure that you don't allow the Panthers to get any kind of sub package here, and hopefully you go over the top and you try to burn them a little bit, which might actually loosen up the run game somewhat. You might want to pass to loosen up and create the run opportunities here. The other issue here is that defensively, the Patriots have to figure out a way to keep Cam Newton in the pocket. At least to me, early, that's got to be an early key with some of the other mobile quarterbacks that you've seen the Patriots have to defend this year. I mean, when a quarterback gets out of the pocket, it can make a long day for the Patriots defensively. And Newton, being built like a linebacker at 6'5 and what, about 250? I mean, he is. He's a middle linebacker, or he's a defensive end, basically floating around back there with running back moves playing quarterback. You got to figure out a way to keep that guy, in the passing lane, in the pocket. This is where you really are going to need pressure from the middle. You're going to need to figure out a way to collapse that pocket. I wouldn't be at all shocked to see a guy like, Chandler Jones maybe line up a little bit of defensive tackle and see some of that package this week. You know, you're going to need Sopoaga to make sure that he's, you know, stuffing things and allow the linebackers to come up and make plays. I mean, all kinds of things. And again, we'll get into more of the X's and O's and more of the things that maybe they could do, not should, but could. And as we progress this week, but at least initially, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Let's get to some emails now. This one comes from Joel from Atlanta, who is the winner of Game Show Thursday. Now, how do you like that? Kevin, how do you like this? His email signature says, Joel from Atlanta, winner of Game Show Thursday.
He was one winner.
Oh, he was winner of one.
He didn't. He wasn't the grand prize winner.
No,
who was the
grand prize?
Janine.
Oh, that's right, Janine from Chicago.
He went against her. I think
he went against her.
But he got his.
But he did win his yearbook. Right?
He did. Yeah.
But I like the way that he signs his email. That's very impressive. You should be bragging about that. You should, Joel. Anyway, he says, John, Ed Reed goes on waivers. A team claiming him would owe him $412,000 plus $62,500 for each game he's active. Pat should get him. It's worth the money. Yep. Just as our friend Tim mentioned. Yep. Does that sound like a lot of money in the overall scheme of things? $412,000, $62,500 for each game he's active. Sounds like a mere pittance, doesn't it? All right, Steven has this. Here are the top 10 teams on my power rankings through week 10. He says Denver 1, Seattle 2, New Orleans 3, New England 4, Kansas City 5, then he has Detroit, Carolina, Chicago, Philly, Indy. And then he says, about Ed Reed, I think he would make a good fit in New England. I think he would help to toughen up our defense physically and mentally. I think if we let him slip by without at least working him out, then we've lost a big opportunity. There has to be some back and forth, right? There has to be some interest there. There has to be still somewhat of a mutual admiration society if, of course, Ed Reed still wants to play football. I'd heard some rumors and seen some reports that maybe the Dallas Cowboys would have interest in him, but then just saw something online that said that the Cowboys have decided apparently not to go after Ed Reed. So if that is the case, then that would tend to be, I think, maybe at least a step in the right direction because the Cowboys could claim him off of waivers ahead of the Patriots. I'd be curious to understand, though, Stephen, why you have the Saints ahead of the Patriots when the Patriots own a win over New Orleans. I can understand Denver over Seattle because you probably just think of Seattle a bit as a paper tiger. Denver has only one loss, but you got Kansas City down at 5. Not for nothing, I think that's a little disrespectful to a team that, you know, they can only play the games that are on their schedule. Now, clearly you're going to know more about Kansas City this week when they play Denver, and that'll be certainly one of the games of the week here in week 11. But at 5? Really? 5? Hello, John. It's Gustavo Guona from Mission, Texas again. And thank you for the phonetic spelling of your, or pronunciation of your last name, Gustavo. First of all, my power rankings. 1, Seattle. 2, Chiefs. 3, Broncos. 4, Pats. 5, Saints. Next, I think about my wife when I hear Carolina, because her name is Yaneth Carolina. Ah, nice. You're not going to be able to talk to her much this week, are you, Gustavo? And it wouldn't hurt to get Ed Reed if he was available, but I think he might be too slow, but you never know. About the game against Carolina, well, we had problems in the two losses that had a good defense, so I'm going to be nervous. Hopefully Brady doesn't get hit a lot, but I think it's going to be like this season. Patriots will find a way to win. And since it's a Monday night game, my little girls, Yossi, Yaelin, and Yarley, are going to be allowed to stay up late on a school night. Yay, Dad! Oh, and they told me to say hi to Mr. Rook. Thank you. Thank you, girls. Thank you for giving us a great show. Gustavo, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a fan down in Mission, Texas. Say hello to the good Mexican food for me, will you? Because, you know, it's kind of hard to get some of that up here. So he thinks about his wife when he hears Carolina because her name is Yaneth Carolina. I like that. That's good. What do I think when I think Carolina? The first thing that comes to mind to me, honestly, is the University of North Carolina. That's the first thing I think of. I think of Carolina Blue. I think of the Tar Heels. I think of great basketball. I think of their tradition. I think of their tradition. I think it's an absolute gorgeous campus. But I think hoops. I really do when I think Carolina. Now, I know a lot of my friends actually think Carolina barbecue. They like it. It's kind of got that sweeter, tangier type of flavor to it. A lot of people think Tobacco Road. A lot of people think ACC. A lot of people think Charlotte. A lot of people think auto racing, you know, the NASCAR that's absolutely wild, you know, in that part of the country. There are a lot of different things I think that you can think when you think Carolina. That's why I asked the question. I wouldn't say that you necessarily go first and foremost with the Panthers when you think Carolina. Which is, again, another reason why I asked the question today. I wonder if the Panthers are being taken seriously enough by Patriots fans to where maybe the Panther football team would be at the top of the list of what you think about when you hear the word Carolina. Because I don't think so. I just told you what I think when I hear Carolina. First thing I think of is the University of North Carolina. I think about that big interlocked NC logo. You know, that you see on the basketball floor, or you see on the side of their football helmets. And I think Carolina blue, which is a rather unique color. It's not really baby blue. It's kind of got a little bit of a tint to it. It's not what I would call UCLA baby blue. It's Carolina blue. So that's kind of what I think of when I think Carolina. What about you? Steve in Killeen, Texas says, John, Ed Reed will depend on how the Patriots might use him. And what his overall health is, clearly. The main reason I would bring him in would be for depth, and we know that Bill likes him, but what hurts him is age. Of course. Totally agree with that. Yes, I would bring him in for depth, and especially if you don't think a guy like Steve Gregory could play this week. If he doesn't play this week, then yeah, you're already hurt there with depth. Why not? It doesn't cost you a lot to look. If he's going to slide into you and no one's going to pick him up before you, why wouldn't you take a shot at this? Especially with the Mutual Admiration Society that's going on. In thinking about Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, has great places to eat, but there is little soul food place. There's a little soul food place called Mertz that cannot be beat for greens, cornbread, and po' boys. And yes, they have hot sauce on all the tables. Enough said. Oh, Steve. Greens, cornbread, and po' boys. You ever had a po' boy, Kevin?
Oh. What is a po' boy?
It's really kind of like our version of a grinder. You know what a grinder is, right? Submarine, you know, kind of like a sub sandwich, you know, like a, it's just, you can put lots of different things on po' boys, but that's really kind of what I was told it was, and I don't really call it that as well. I've just always called it a sandwich, really. Don't really have a nickname for it. I didn't realize what a grinder was until I actually came to New England almost three decades ago, but, same type of thing, their version of such. But greens and cornbread, oh, man, goodness gracious. How about black-eyed peas? You go for any of the black-eyed peas there in Carolina too, Steve? Oh. Some people I know think, why would you eat cow food? Listen, all I can tell you is if you haven't actually tried black-eyed peas, you need to, you know, you put them in the crock pot or your big metal pot on the stove, and you just have to soak them overnight, first of all. Because if you just throw them in there and start boiling them, they're not going to be any good. I can tell you that right now. Won't be any good. But you soak them overnight to get them tender. Clean them off, make them really tender. And then you pour all that water out in the next morning, then you reload it with hot water after having them covered overnight. Then what you're going to do is you're going to throw in about half a pound of bacon into the water, and you cut up a couple of onions. Throw that in there and add maybe a couple of cloves of garlic. And then you're going to let that simmer for about 4 to 6 hours on your stove or in your crock pot. And my goodness gracious. And then you're going to put something called chow chow on top of that after you've done with it. Some of the grocery stores in the Northeast, you can actually find chow chow, you know, in the relish aisle where you have, mustards and ketchups and Worcestershire sauces and barbecue sauce and all that kind of stuff. You can find the chow chow. It's kind of like a hot relish. That you might actually even put on some hot dogs. But you put this chow chow on top of the black-eyed peas. This is how my mother used to make it. And my being from the South, she taught me how to make this. And this is what I do every year for New Year's Day. Because in the South, you eat a little black-eyed peas. It's for good luck for the new year. And so I do this as tradition for my family every year. And I forced my boys to have a spoonful of black-eyed peas for years. Because they don't particularly like them. Although I will tell you this, that a lot of my friends, including my girlfriend, they like them. So that's why we do black-eyed peas. But you got to have a little black-eyed peas when you're talking soul food, going along with collard greens and the cornbread. That's all I'm saying. Okay, now I'm starving to death. Overall, I think the Pats will match up well with the return of key players such as Tlaib on Ted Ginn, Sopoaga helping in the middle and slowing down D'Angelo Williams. Gronk being Gronk, and finally the tandem of Ridley and Vereen. Yeah, that's what everybody's looking forward to, Steve. Tlaib on Ted Ginn, that could happen, although I personally believe you probably find him matched up a bit more on Steve Smith, just because I think people think Steve Smith is being craftier. He's a little older, doesn't have quite the step on him that he's had in the past, but still a pretty good back overall, still a pretty good receiver. Sopoaga in the middle, absolutely slowing down the running game. Good stuff. Steven says, oh, he answers back because I was asking him about Kansas City and you know, jumping them down, I think, to fifth. And he says, I meant no disrespect to KC. I just think that their schedule has not been very tough this season. This, however, will be tested in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I put the Saints over the Pats because I think they're more sure of themselves on offense. Just putting my 2 cents out there. Thanks for another great show. And my nitpick is that you need to have a Friday show. Thanks. They're going to pay me? Then maybe we can think about that. Forgot on my last email to say hi to you and Eric as well. So hi from Port Orchard, Washington. And go Pats. All right, Steven in Port Orchard, Washington. Thank you. Right in the middle of Seattle country. Right in the middle of Seahawks country. And you have the Seahawks at number 2 in your power rankings behind the Broncos? Oh, I don't know if you can be seen in public on that one. That might be a little bit difficult. Michael says on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster again, the Twitter follow, hi, John, I don't see the harm in kicking the tires on Reed and see if there's anything left in the tank. In BB, we trust. I can't, it's really hard to disagree with that. I mean, if he slips through, it's just really hard to understand why you wouldn't want to take a look at it, especially if he's available, knowing that he wouldn't cost you a ton of money. All right, as promised, we're going to get back to the business of the Carolina Panthers here in hour number 2 of our Tuesday playbook. Jonathan Jones covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. He joined us here in the playbook. Hi, Jonathan. John Rook here in Foxborough. How are you today?
John, doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. We are trying to figure out what a scenario might be for Ed Reed to slip through waivers and be available for the Patriots to pick up and help shore up the secondary. You think that in Carolina's estimation that would be a good pickup?
Well, for the Patriots, it certainly would be. Obviously, for the Panthers, I actually tweeted out earlier today that I'm very glad that no one has emailed me asking if the Panthers need Ed Reed. It seems every time a big-name guy comes on the market that all Panther fans think that the Panthers somehow need them. You look at this defense, and, you know, this secondary, while they don't have many names back there, doing quite well without a guy who, you know, got benched in Houston. And also this Carolina Panthers team is not a team that has usually picked up very big name free agents. So all that said, it appears would be a good fit for the Patriots, but certainly not for the Panthers.
Yeah, and I guess even though at least the common perception here is as we kind of begin to learn the Panthers ourselves here, the common perception is that this team is certainly got a tough front seven, but if there is an Achilles heel, if you will, it might be in that secondary. Is that an accurate assessment?
Oh, certainly on the defensive side. Now, we go back, we rewind the tape back to before training camp. The secondary was the biggest question mark going into training camp. Now it's more the offensive line because they've had the injury bug at the guard positions. About 5 guards that they've had this year on both the left and right side are done for the season with various knee and lower body injuries. And so that's the biggest question mark now. But you look at this defense and how they've only given up 9 touchdowns this season, 1 per game. How they have 13 interceptions. A lot of it has to do with the front seven and the pressure that they're getting on these quarterbacks. Matt Ryan couldn't do his 5-7 step drops. He had to throw a lot of intermediate stuff when the Panthers played Atlanta a few weeks ago. And that's the case for a lot of quarterbacks. But all that said, you know, you can say that one influences the other, one affects the other, like this front seven does the secondary. But when you have a front seven that's as good as the Panthers, you know, if the secondary is weak, so what? You still have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Well, that defense, I know, kind of starts and maybe ends with the two defensive ends and Charles Johnson and Greg Hardy, who have had some outstanding starts to the year overall. What is it about Johnson and Hardy that seems to make them complement each other as well as they do?
You know, that's an interesting question because they finally have, on the interior of the line, some consistency. They have Dwan Edwards back, the veteran who was once with Buffalo. The Panthers picked him up last year. In the draft, the Panthers spent their first 2 picks on defensive tackle, Star Lafuele and Kaywon Short, both of whom have come in and made a big impact, a very big, consistent impact on the interior of the line. So Charles Johnson, he's a guy that, you know, hasn't made any Pro Bowls. Who he feels, and a lot of the Panthers feel, doesn't get the recognition he deserves, but his the way he goes about it, he doesn't really care. I think he'd like a free trip to Hawaii, but with a $76 million contract he got from Carolina, he can certainly afford to go out there anytime he wants. And so, but those two guys, Greg Hardy, again, playing in a contract year, but those two guys complement, as you said, very well for one another.
Yeah, they really do. And you mentioned Lotulelei and Kaywon Short, who have been certainly stout at tackle. And then it's got to make it intrinsically easier for a guy like Luke Kuechly to play in behind that and to have the instincts that Kuechly has. That's been a lot of fun to watch. That's a guy that literally has a nose for the football.
He really does. His football instincts are incredible. And you look at this team and you go back to the draft and you say, wow, you know, this team really needs to put weapons around Cam Newton for him to succeed. Well, the quarterback of this defense is Luke Kuechly. And it's similarly, they have to put weapons in front of Kuechly for him to succeed so that he can roam around the middle and be as effective and let his instincts and his great tackling abilities take over. And so that's what they did by shoring up that defensive line. And now we're seeing what Luke Kuechly can really do at middle linebacker. You go back to the St. Louis game about 3 weeks ago. St. Louis said, you know what, we're not going to let Luke Kuechly beat us on defense. So their offensive line would get to that second level. They would get off their combo blocks a lot quicker than most teams usually do. And what that meant was that the defensive line got a lot more tackles for loss, and sacked Sam Bradford a couple times just because they weren't going to let Luke Kuechly get 15 tackles and an interception and one forced fumble. They were going to let someone else beat them, and ultimately the Panthers' defense did.
Well, they certainly did. It's a very impressive performance over San Francisco, and I know that there are a lot of people in New England that have raised eyebrows after that one, especially with the way that they hit Colin Kaepernick. I mean, flat out, they got after him, and they did it with pretty much a plane rush, and they did it with really an unspectacular offense as well. The defense was that good.
It was that good, and, you know, it's kind of amazing that in the NFL, against the San Francisco 49ers, you can score 10 points to win, but that just shows you how good this defense is. One of the biggest knocks on the Panthers was, hey, you know, they've won five games, but who have they beaten? You look at the teams that they've beaten. It was New York. It was Tampa Bay. It was Atlanta, St. Louis. These are not in Minnesota. These are not very good teams. You know, certainly their records don't reflect that. And so it was a big win for the Panthers. It showed fans a lot. It showed the rest of the NFL a lot. But more importantly, it showed the Panthers that, hey, you know, we're beating up on bad teams. They were killing these bad teams, really. I mean, they weren't allowing more than 15 points per game and were scoring more than 30 points in these wins. But it really meant something to finally play and beat a team that a lot of people consider to be an NFC contender.
Sure. Jonathan Jones covering the Panthers for Charlotte Observer, joining us here in the playbook. Now, is that the reason, is the defense the reason that Cam Newton can get away with mediocre numbers? I mean, it was, what, 50% completion, 169 yards, and had a pick against San Francisco, and the Panthers still win the game. So any cause for concern there, or is that more just, you know, hey, let's pat the defense on the back for picking us up?
You know, it's a little bit of both. Everything kind of works hand in hand. The interesting thing about Cam Newton is, and this year's Panthers, they don't need Cam Newton to put up the numbers that he did at Auburn, that he did in his rookie and first two seasons, where passes for 300 yards, rushes for 70 yards and a touchdown, and they still don't get the job done. What we're seeing out of Cam Newton now, and it's crazy to think, a guy with his physical attributes and the numbers that he's posted, but he's kind of a game manager. And that phrase denotes some things, you know, some negative things, but you know, he's going about his business. He's getting the Panthers. What he's doing is he's doing great in the 4-minute and 2-minute drills at the end of half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting the Panthers in position to score, if not scoring touchdowns. And that's what they did against San Francisco. Yeah, he had a bad interception, took a couple sacks. You know, he had a few drops. He was high on a few throws. That's kind of been his MO over the past year and a half or so. But when it came down to it, when the Panthers needed that touchdown, they got it on an 80-yard drop, and when they needed to get in the field goal range to go up 10-9, the final score of the San Francisco game, he got him in field goal range.
Yeah. One of the weird things that I've noticed on the Panthers' schedule as I took a look at it earlier today, Jonathan, was the bye was very early, came after week five, and then coming off the bye, Arizona beat Carolina 22-6. I'm like, wow, how did that happen, number one? And knowing that the Patriots play or have played as well as they do historically coming off of the bye, does that add any measure of concern this week?
It certainly does. In fact, it made my notebook in today's paper where the Panthers, under Ron Rivera, are 0-3 coming off the bye. They lost 30-3 against the Titans. 2 years ago. They lost last year against Dallas at home after the bye, and then this year, 22-6, as you mentioned, at Arizona, coming off an early bye.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco was coming off a bye and lost at home. I asked Ron Rivera if too much is put into byes and this rest and, you know, extra preparation. He said, yeah, you know, sometimes there's a lot of self-scouting, obviously, but a lot of times guys just take the week off. And obviously, and I don't know how Bill Belichick and the Patriots do it, but certainly their record following the bye week speaks for itself. I think it's 10-3 under Belichick,
right,
following a bye.
Yep.
And so, you know, that does concern the Panthers because obviously Belichick has his teams ready to play coming off that bye week. But then again, something else I found pretty interesting. It seems like they've played the Bills about 6 times in the past 13 years coming off the bye.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that says more about Belichick or more about the schedule makers and the Bills.
Damn, you found the secret. I love that. That's great. One of the other things, though, that's kind of a byproduct of all of this, now that I think Carolina has sort of announced themselves here to the NFL, because I know that seems what everybody who follows the league or fans following the league and the networks talking about the league, the buzz is, wow, Carolina's for real at 6-3, having won 5 in a row, and you got the legitimate stamp, the stamp of legitimacy with the win at San Francisco as it was this last week. Is it possible for Coach Rivera and for this team to enjoy this moment, knowing that New England's coming in?
I think it's possible for them to do it, but they don't want to do it. This is a team, we're talking about the Panthers being relevant. We're talking about it because they've been so irrelevant for so long. The last time they had a winning record, George W. Bush was still in office. And so when you consider that, when you consider so many of these guys who are still on there, still remember that 2008 team that went to the playoffs, and that they're just so hungry for wins, and they don't care how they do it. Cam Newton, he's always been a winner. He comes to the NFL and he's never won. He doesn't care if he throws 50% and one interception as opposed to 300 yards and they don't get the win. D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart don't mind sharing the ball, don't mind not getting 1,000-yard seasons as long as they're finally winning for the first time in 5 years. So they can enjoy this, but they certainly know that, hey, we haven't accomplished anything yet. Just because there's a buzz around this city for the first time in a while, just because there are more interview requests and Peter King is calling and writing about the Panthers now, doesn't mean that they've done anything. They want to ultimately get to the playoffs and make this season actually mean something.
Sure. Sounds good. All right, Jonathan, want to play 1-1 with you here, and it's not anything huge terribly mentally or even physically taxing. One thing you like, one thing you don't like about this Carolina team.
Let's see. One thing I really like is the addition of Ted Ginn Jr. He was basically left for dead out in San Francisco, especially as a receiver. Last year, he had 2 catches for 1 yard. He's come to Carolina. He's kind of reinvented himself. He's the number 3 wide receiver here, but he's a guy who can stretch the field, who's shown that, the drops that he used to have back in the day have kind of gone away. And he's able to, and not just on the receiving end, certainly in the return game. It's been a very long time, ever since Steve Smith was a returner back in the early 2000s, that Carolina has had a dynamic and effective punt and kick returner. So that's one of the things that I really like about Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly expect them to re-sign him next year. One of the things that I don't particularly like about the team, they're playing a lot of rookies right now. There was one point against San Francisco where they played 5 rookies on the field, including undrafted rookie Melvin White, getting a lot of time at corner. I think if they play a team that has a lot of receiving threats, and I know Tom Brady has certainly struggled with getting his receivers to catch the ball, it seems like they've come around a little bit in the past couple of weeks, but if they play a team that has receivers that are very effective, I think the Panthers are going to struggle because they have guys who have not been in this situation. We talk about relevancy, and once you start getting relevant, once the pressure starts, getting a little hotter, once the light gets a little hotter, I don't know if these rookies will be able to stand up to it. That is something that we're going to have to look for. So that's something I like. That's something I don't like.
I like it a lot. Very good. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Jonathan. I sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. Jonathan Jones covers the Carolina Panthers for the Charlotte Observer, joining us here in the playbook. So hopefully maybe now, after today, you've learned a little bit about the Panthers. What is it that you like? What is it you don't like? What is it you think about when you hear Carolina mentioned? Which is why I asked the question today, honestly. Steven says via email, he says, black-eyed peas, Lord, yes. Absolutely. As the Southern boy I am, I would have to go with a smoked ham hocks with a black-eyed peas. But I am not mad at you for the idea of good slab bacon, which I know is actually easier to get your hands on. apologies for making you hungry. I will try to get the fried turkeys out to you soon to help with that problem. Oh, Kevin, our boy Steve here is something, huh? He's really something. Love it. Canadian Mike in Florida says, if Reed is willing to do whatever it takes, maybe be a situational player, well, we should take a flyer on him. If not for his experience, more so for his leadership on defense. Let's face it. It's tough to replace the leadership we had with Wilfork and Mayo, not to mention Kelly. Another leader can't hurt. Mike, that is an outstanding point and something I hadn't really even had a chance to bring up yet because I got so many other things flying around here today. But frankly, that's a great, great point. You are already missing leadership on the field with Wilfork gone and Mayo gone. As we all know, Mayo had the green dot on his helmet, so he's the one calling the plays. And of course, that had shifted to the defensive backfield, and Steve Gregory had the green dot on his helmet for a while. And now we're not really sure what his status is going to be with the broken thumb and if he's going to be available this week. And I'm saying that Ed Reed would end up being that person because he'd be brand new to the team. But there's a difference between being a play caller, if you know the team's defense and the playbook and the system, and being a leader on the field amongst the guys out there with you, with your teammates. That's where Ed Reed can make a difference. That's where Ed Reed. Look, here's the other thing. I mean, to me, this is really very simple. Ed Reed's the kind of guy that you love having on your team. You hate him when he's on the other team. I think we've talked about that before when he was with Baltimore and the Patriots getting ready to play Baltimore and lost last year in the AFC Championship game to Baltimore. And it's kind of like, damn, Ed Reed. Oh, I hate that guy. Why? Well, because he always seems to do well against you. And if he's available, why wouldn't you go get him? Yeah, he's that kind of guy. He's been good enough to make plays. And if he's got anything left and he would agree to a quote unquote subservient role, why wouldn't you take it? Especially since you get him for a minimum amount of money. Of course, there's a great question as to whether or not he can actually slide through waivers here as we continue to watch the waiver wires and everything. But I hope that it's something that at least is being discussed. We'll see if somebody else steps up into the four before the Patriots get a shot here. By the way, Mike says, my top five power rankings, he has New Orleans at 5, New England at 4. He says, however, a win this week and a Denver loss would put them at 2 on my power ranking. He has Seattle at 3, a conundrum for me because on the road they rank about 10 on my power ranking, team that needs to play all playoff games at home in order to make it to the Super Bowl. Then he has Denver 2. Starting to show some weakness with the Manning injury. I foresee a huge loss this week in Kansas City and subsequently the following week in New England. And number one, he has KC. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt until they get their first loss. I think I would have to agree 100% with you, Mike. 100%. I'd go KC 1, Denver 2, Seattle 3, and you're right about the whole home field thing. They had better play their home games in Seattle in the playoffs. They need to win home field advantage in the NFC. And then the Super Bowl would be a crapshoot, right? But I agree with that. But I would still put Seattle slightly behind Denver. Just slightly. New England 4, New Orleans 5, and I would put Carolina at 6. Right behind. Because they've won 5 in a row and they deserve to be there. So I think you're still looking at 2 of the top 6 teams in the NFL going at each other next Monday night. And he says, finally, the Panthers are much better this year. However, look at their wins. Giants, Vikings, Rams, Bucks, Falcons. With the only impressive win being their last win against the 49ers. You can make the same argument with the Patriots' wins. But we're finally getting healthy, so I have confidence in the offense outscoring their offense. That's very good points, Mike, both ways. Yep. You can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. And yes, the previous 5 wins for Carolina were less than impressive based on their records overall. Giants, Vikings, Rams, Bucks, Falcons. Not a winner among them. And then, yes, they only scored 10 points against San Francisco, but they won the game because they held the 49ers to just 9. That's impressive. That's got to have the Patriots' full, unequivocal attention this week. Without a doubt. All right, let's get another quick timeout on here, Kev, and then we'll come back and finish with emails, Facebook posts, some tweets to share. Oh, and yeah, the phone line is open as well, 855-PATS-500. Been a little quiet today. Is it just because, you know, people are taking the extra day off knowing that we don't play until next Monday? I'm curious. That's why I'm asking these questions. There's a lot of things that you can contribute on the show today. But it only becomes your show when you contribute. So, hey, your top five power ranking in the NFL, where do the Patriots figure? Are the Panthers in that mix as well? Number two, what do you think when you hear Carolina? What's the first thing that comes to mind? And number three, should they take a flyer on Ed Reed if he slips down that far through waivers? All right, right here in the playbook, coming up.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
About 15 minutes left in the program for a Tuesday. Still plenty of time for you to contribute. Webradio at patriots.com. The email, 855-PATS-500. The telephone number at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. I am four away from 1,900. I was
tweeting out the guests with you in it, so I was hoping you'd pick up a few.
I'm picking up anybody today. I'm not feeling love today. Oh, well, it's just going to have to happen, I guess. Let's see. Here we go. Mary says via email. She says, John, good to hear your voice again. Thank you, Mary. Nitpick. Kevin's saying people from Maine have no teeth. That attitude is exactly why Mainers voted for independence.
That was forever ago.
Massholes back in 1820.
That was forever ago. That was like last week. I forgot about that. They have no teeth. I have no hair. It's fine.
Mainers voting for independence from massholes. Love that.
By the way, I went hiking on the bye weekend.
Yeah.
Up in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Climbed Mount Monadnock.
Chantel go with you?
Yeah, we climbed it together. It took like 4 hours.
All right, that's good.
It was the funniest thing. Like, we were out in the middle of nowhere in New Hampshire, and because, what is it, like no like sales tax or whatever they have up there?
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, like let's go into like Walmart.
Shopping.
You know what I mean? And see if there's things that like we can buy without tax that you'd need in everyday life, like buy them in bulk or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we go in, and it was like every single aisle was something from that wacky show Duck Dynasty. Like there was like Duck Dynasty like plates and silverware and this, that. There were actually talking and singing ducks that you could put on your wall, like the Big Mouth Billy. Like Duck Dynasty has taken over. I didn't realize it until I had actually gone out.
That's the cult thing.
Yeah,
now.
And it's not just New Hampshire and Maine. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like they are huge.
That was a big Halloween costume this year.
In
dressed like the Duck Dynasty.
My sister, she was talking to me about it the other day. She said it's her new favorite show on television. I have yet to see any of them. And now I'm thinking,
you got to check it out.
It's so popular.
You got to check it out.
So that I'm like with the uptake here, I might as well watch it.
Might as well check it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it a couple of times, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not sure I get it.
But it was crazy. Like, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, like, every aisle you turn down, there was some sort of product that you would use in everyday life that was marketed toward, like, Duck Dynasty. They had their name on something. It was insane.
Well, then the $64 question is, did you buy any?
No, I didn't. I bought, what did I buy? I bought booze. Because, you know, it's naturally cheaper up there. I bought some beer and some hard alcohol.
Okay, well, that's always a good purchase.
Bought some, they had, like, leftover, which is always a steal, like, leftover Halloween candy. It's, marked down, half off.
You know what I really like is a bag of candy corn for, like, nothing.
There you go.
Because I can just throw those things in my mouth.
Candy corn's delicious.
It is. It's awesome.
They're like little pellets of energy. They're a little pick-me-up kind of.
Totally agree. It's a huge pick. Because it's pure sugar you're throwing in your mouth. That's why.
So I bought some candy. So I bought like booze and candy, which is not exactly good for you. But and meanwhile, Chantel buys like, you know, a curtain rod and like more practical things that you can use kind of like around the house.
Well, that's what women do. They buy the practical stuff and they leave you to buy the junk.
It's like you go with your basket and she goes with her basket and you meet up at the end. And it's
Now that's the sign of a good relationship, because if you actually try to use the same basket, the stuff that you try to throw in the same basket as your woman,
she'd be like, no.
No, that ain't happening. So you need to go off and do your own thing.
Yeah, so we linked up at the end and I'm like looking at mine and looking at hers. And I'm like, man, I'm like a, you know, 7-year-old kid, and she has all this grown-up stuff.
I like to go, and I look forward to going grocery shopping. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just I like going, because first of all, I like to cook.
Yeah, and I think you and I are similar too, where we like different foods.
Yes,
we're foodies.
Yes, definitely foodies, and I do enjoy cooking, but going with Robin is sometimes a challenge for me, because I like to see what I can get away with.
Yeah. Does she try to get you to eat healthy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's great at it. And she's actually made me way better.
Yeah.
I'm way better. Yeah. I mean, everything's fresh. Fruits and vegetables, everything's fresh, fresh, fresh. Nothing's canned.
Yeah.
We might get a frozen vegetable, only if it's one of those steam in the bag kind of things. Quick to do.
Yeah, she'll let me get those.
Yeah, she'll let me get those. But other than that, that's, you know, nothing canned, nothing processed. You know, we're really anal about it. We read the fat content, you know, and all that kind of stuff, which is probably what everybody should do.
I was never
especially
like
now that trans fats are going to be outlawed in this country. How about that one?
That is true.
That was in the news last week.
But same with me, John. Like Chantel will force me to eat, you know, and she's also, to give her credit, she's made me try things that I never really liked. And I may have tried that certain item maybe 10 years ago when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Or it's something that, you know, maybe when I tried it, it wasn't cooked
right.
What's
one thing she's made you try you didn't like that you do now?
Like zucchini. I love zucchini. I always hated zucchini. I will eat zucchini till my hair falls out.
What did she do to it that made you like it?
She makes this thing. It's like it's in a pie plate. Okay, she takes a pie crust, and she fills the crust with a mixture of she'll saute like zucchini with some peppers and onions and saute them up with like garlic and a bunch of other spices, and she fills this thing with like cheese.
Ooh.
And like I think it's like 2 eggs, so it's not like a quiche has a bunch of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a quiche, but it's like this big pie with
vegetable pie.
Exactly, but it's predominantly zucchini, like filled with zucchini.
Delicious, sounds good.
And she made one for my birthday last week.
Nice,
and I ate the whole thing by myself. Like it took me 3 nights, but I ate the whole thing by myself.
Get the hell away from my vegetable pie.
Exactly. So like that, but that's one thing that like anybody who knows me would have been like, if you sent a picture of them being like, would Kevin eat this? They'd be like, no, absolutely not, no way. And
now,
it's one thing that I
now
love.
Kevin will.
I can't get enough of.
That's good for you. Good for you.
But so when you go grocery shopping though, it's that I'm with you. It's that constant tug of war of like, that's not good for you.
Just remember, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry.
Yeah, no, that's what my mom
because that could be a disaster.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially, I mean, your grocery store bill can increase by 30% or more.
You have all sorts of cravings when you're in there.
Yes, exactly. Just, and you're like, oh, I've been dying for that. I want to get, you know, so it's like, you know, you got to go after you have dinner or breakfast or lunch or something, because if you go when you're hungry, you're sunk.
But it's funny. You and I may actually live longer due to these two women helping us try to.
Shocking, isn't
it? It's terrible.
I know. It's really
shocking.
I'm
losing my hair, but I may live longer, so who knows?
The fairer sex has pity on us, Kev.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mary says, speaking of the fairer sex, she says, Ed Reed, I have no idea how he's been playing or not playing, but how much can he really do for the Patriots this year? Hopefully another team claims him off of waivers and there will be no more discussion of him. Ravens suck and we're handed the stupid bowl last year. Okay, that's the first person we've had say, could care less about Ed Reed. He didn't do much this year. I think he had 16 total tackles in 7 games, was inactive for 1, relegated to the second team. Clearly looked like he was an afterthought. Started to become critical of Houston's coaching, and he's gone. That's why he's available. Big Matt says, Carolina, defense and barbecue. This is the true fat guy coming out right here. Panthers have probably the best front 7 in football, probably my favorite defensive line between Johnson and a fantastic draft pick of star Lotulelei. They can get after it. And for the area itself, can't beat the barbecue. Nice pulled pork platter with some greens, slaw, and cornbread.
But speaking of foodies, Matt's a big boy who enjoys some food, too.
He does enjoy food. Big Matt is also a contributing writer for football.com, so you should mention that he knows a little football,
too.
There's
a man who probably knows his barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Says, also for Ed Reed, I think stay away. Well, there's 2 votes for no Ed. Houston has had defensive struggles. They still cut him. He just looks like he got old real fast and doesn't have it on the field anymore. Also, he is causing problems in the locker room down in Houston. So do we really want that here with such a young team? BB will more than likely take a look, but I'm a no on Reed. Respect that opinion greatly. However, I would tell you that I think Ed Reed's attitude changes significantly if he knows he's coming to play for Bill Belichick. Just a thought. Chris in Seattle, Ed Reed says, absolutely pick him up if possible. He is a professional. He would fit into the Patriot way. Perhaps he's missed a step physically, but his veteran presence would go a long way for not only our secondary, but the defense as a whole. Panthers, surprising. I looked at this game on the schedule as a very likely win. I am not any longer so confident. And his top 5 in the power rankings, he says KC, Denver, Patriots 3, Seahawks 4, Saints 5. Think I would swap out the Patriots in Seattle with you on that one, Chris. But curious, though, that you are Chris in Seattle and you have the Seahawks at number 4. See, we've had 2 people write us now from the Pacific Northwest, 3 if you count British Columbia, and not exactly all on the Seattle bandwagon here. Should we find that somewhat curious?
I don't find it that surprising given the performance they put up. I think it was Tampa Bay last week or the week before. I think they were down like 21-0.
They were.
At home.
They were down 21-0.
They did come back and show a lot of resilience. I mean, Tampa Bay is not a good team.
Would we be saying the same thing about the Patriots, though, if they were down 21-0 to a team like Tampa? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, teams are allowed to have poor performances and have bad games, have stinkers.
And the good and great teams win the stinkers.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly my point. Good teams find a way to win when they don't play well. And I think that's, frankly, what the Patriots have done for the majority of this season until week before last when they managed to ring up half a 100 on Pittsburgh. That's the whole point. Good teams find a way to win when you don't play well. And Carolina, just not sure yet whether or not you can classify them as a good team, although any time I think you win 5 in a row, you probably have to at least be taken seriously, no matter who the level of opposition is, because you know how tough it is to win in the NFL. You know how tough it is to put a streak together in the NFL and to win 5 in a row and to cap that off with a road win at San Francisco? Come on. That's got to get your attention, right? Josh says, from Stratford, Connecticut, says, just wanted to say I'm not nearly as worried as most people about this game. Looks like the offense is clicking on all cylinders, and I didn't see Carolina's corners, or don't see Carolina's corners, being able to stop Amendola, let alone Aaron Dobson. Defense-wise, that may be the first email all year long that we've taken here in the playbook, who considers Aaron Dobson an offensive threat. I think we all think he's a, potentially nice receiver. But If it comes to true threats on offense, it's always Amendola or Gronk, or Gronk or Amendola, and that's it. No one's really thought of Dobson as a threat. Even Kimbrell Tompkins was mentioned as an offensive threat based on his catching that last, you know, touchdown pass against the Saints from Brady. I really think this is the first time someone's actually considered that. He says, defense-wise, I think Tlaib is back. So Steve Smith is pretty much a non-factor. What's your thoughts? I wouldn't call Steve Smith a non-factor. But if Aqib Tlaib is back, and we are led to believe he will be, and again, he had practiced, what, seven practices in a row leading up to the bye week and was still inactive for both of those last two games. So if you're thinking along the lines that the bye week would make him closer to returning, then you're probably right about that, but we won't know until they get back out on the field and the first injury report actually comes out on Thursday because of the Monday night game.
It's weird. Everything's delayed this week.
Yeah, everything's put back because it's Monday night.
The players are off tomorrow completely.
Right.
Which is just so bizarre that they would practice and have availability.
They were practicing. They practiced early today.
Yeah, and they had availability today.
Right.
And then you get nothing.
Right. By the way, Gregory was the only one that was not out there, from what I understand.
Yeah, very odd week this week.
Yeah, it's just weird because you don't play until Monday, so this is really a Monday schedule as opposed to a Tuesday schedule, and of course it is Tuesday. Anyway, Steve Smith, a non-factor, not going to go quite that far. I also wouldn't be surprised to see Tlaib, you know, run over and maybe say hello to Ted Ginn, as we got earlier from Jonathan Jones from the Charlotte Observer. Sean says, I keep hearing about these guys being arguably the best front seven in all of football. What are your thoughts on that? They also rush only four and drop the rest in coverage, which is a recipe for success against New England. We well know at this point. I haven't been this nervous since the Saints game. Help calm my nerves. I don't know that I can do that, Sean, because I agree with you. I think that because they rush only four and they drop the others in coverage, the other two teams that, you know, pride themselves in being able to rush four were Cincinnati and the New York Jets, as I said earlier in the program, and we know how those two games ended up for New England. So this is going to be a huge week preparation-wise for the coaching staff and in particular for the offensive line, which has been maligned and is, I think we can all kind of agree, has not quite played to the potential we thought they were capable of playing to. Yes, they've had an injury or two. Yes, they've lost Sebastian Vollmer for the year. But these guys are all experienced. They've been around for a while. They, in large part, have not performed up to their capabilities. In other words, underachieved. Now's the time to turn it on. I really believe that, you know, the answer to a lot of this week would be let's increase tempo. Let's speed it up on the Panthers. Let's not let them get ready. Let's not let them get set. Let's not let them tee off on the Patriots offensive line. Let's get Brady, let's get the ball out of his hands quickly. Let's get it to Shane Vereen if indeed he is back this week, which we expect he will be. Let's find Gronkowski over the middle. Let's see if we can hit, you know, some of the short receiving, capabilities of both Amendola and Edelman. Let's get these guys spinning on their heels a little bit. Let's take control of the game like that. And then maybe you come after them with, you know, a guy like Shane Vereen. How about a guy like Stephen Ridley? Oh, yeah, and let's let LeGarrette Blount have some carries, too, in this thing. That might change, but I still think, at least initially, that's a good way to start this week if you're prepping for the Carolina Panthers. Lyle on Twitter has the final word here. Became a huge fan of your show last month. I figured I'd help you out after the next two games. How do you like their schedule? Thank you, Lyle. How do I like the Patriots' schedule after the next two? Well, you've got Carolina and Denver. Goodness. After the next two?
Then you've got, let's see, on
then
the
you've
wall
got,
here, Texans.
Then you've got the Texans.
Which are decimated by injury.
Right, and by the way, that game was flexed back to an afternoon game. It was at 4:25, but that game has now been flexed back to a 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff on December 1st.
Then you get the Browns at home.
So you have the Texans, the Browns, the Dolphins on the road, the Ravens on the road, and the Bills.
It sets up well if they can split these games 1-1, these next two games, I would be happy.
I think, honestly, yeah, I would have tend to agree. Because then if you get through these next two, you'd be 8-3.
Yep.
And then you should have.
You should be able to go like
Texans,
one
Browns.
Loss the rest of the
I think
way,
you got to beat the Dolphins. The Ravens on the road. Depends on whether or not they're still in it.
I think if they can get through these games.
I can see, I can see 12 and 4.
Yeah, if they can get through these games, 1 and 1, these two games, if they can just win one of the next
then
two.
Then 12 and 12 4 and is still very much in play.
A real possibility.
Yeah.
Because they still will be allowed a slip up in those last few games. You know, they could still lose another game to get to their fourth loss.
That's
but,
true.
You know, I think if they go 0 and 2, I think it's more 10 and 6, 11 and 5 still very much most likely. But if they can win one of these next two, and they're both going to be very difficult, I think 12 and 4 is a real possibility.
I think 12 and 4 might be it. And 12 and 4, of course, as we all know, right now would be good enough for the two slot, the two seed in the AFC, which, you know, because of the way Cincinnati and Indianapolis seem to be stumble-bumping right now.
That they did the Patriots a favor.
They both did the Patriots a favor this weekend. That's right. And, of course, you know, there's only one team that's going to end up being on top in the West, and the other team is automatically going to be the wild card no matter the record.
And just as we close out here, just a fun little tidbit.
Yes.
The New York Football Jets are currently the sixth seed. Which
that is correct.
Which blew me away.
Which I love.
Blew me away.
Which I absolutely love. Now, I would personally, I mean, if they get in, it'll probably be as the sixth. But, I mean, there's got to be a way to have a rematch with the Jets in there somewhere. Maybe AFC Championship. I don't know if it gets that far because the lowest remaining seed would always play the one seed. So that would put, if the Jets won a playoff game, that would put them against probably whoever wins the West would probably be the one seed in the divisional round. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. But now that we've hit the halfway point and we're into the second half, yes. Yes, playoff possibilities are allowed in the playbook. Yes, they are. They may not be down the hallway. They're allowed here. All right. My thanks, Jonathan Jones, Charlotte Observer, Mick Mixon, the play-by-play radio voice of the Carolina Panthers, for both joining us in the playbook on this Tuesday. Escal will be here tomorrow from PFW. We'll have more on the Panthers. Hopefully more from you as well. Some good stuff today. Maybe we'll know a little bit more about the whole Ed Reed scenario and how the Patriots step forward out of the bye week and right into flat-out contention for an AFC championship and making a playoff push for yet again another run at a Super Bowl. Is it possible for this team? Do you really look at this New England team as a potential Super Bowl contender? We may discuss some of this in tomorrow's playbook. Fantasy's coming up next, kids. Stick around right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.